The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome in, Bears fans, to another episode of Bare Bones, our special mock draft offseason edition. As always, I am Mason West, joined by Danny, pointing in the wrong direction. If you're watching the podcast, he's over that way. Danny Meehan, and of course, we got Rashab, special guest, DeWindy City Productions, putting some fire out there on YouTube and Twitter. Love all the edits you do. Love the information you put out. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing well. Excited to talk about some Bears Bears draft topics. You know, the draft is only, what, a month away now at this point, like 5 weeks away, so I cannot wait for the draft to start.
Yeah, I'm good, man, and it's nice to be back on the show again after a couple weeks off, you know. Yeah. Good to talk some NFL draft and whatnot, and I guess we're going to get into it a little bit, but it's kind of nice to have closure on the Justin Fields era, as it were, versus arguing in chats and on Twitter and seeing the cesspool that is the boomers on Facebook just going at it over this. Like, and you know what? I got to give credit to Ryan Poles. He really does seem like he did, quote unquote, right by Justin by putting him in a situation where he could theoretically compete and or just outright win the starting job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lester and I did a video like reaction that day. So if you want to go check that out, Second City Gridiron, go watch that video, kind of our raw take reaction to that. And speaking of moving on from Justin, right, we're moving forward onward to certain potential quarterbacks. So we're going to just talk about some pro days here. First off, kind of get the easy one out of the way. Bears brass heavily at Notre Dame today. Potential individuals such as Joel Alt, if maybe he falls to them in the draft at 9. Fisher, the other tackle, someone who's very interesting, they were also involved with today over at that pro day. But let's be real, the pro day everyone cared about was yesterday. Did y'all get to peek at that live, catch it later, see its highlights?
Yeah, I watched it live on NFL Plus or whatever it was on. And yeah, I mean, there's not too much you can take away from pro day. Obviously, like less than 1% of your scouting is done, you know, at a pro day. But it is nice to talk to the player, you know, talk to their teammates, talk to their coaches and all that. And you know, it seemed like Caleb had a pretty good pro day, right? Like the ball was coming out of his hand pretty quick. It was mostly like rhythm and timing types of passes he attempted. It wasn't as much as like the rolling out type of stuff he did in college football, which I think was good that he, you know, showed that off at the pro day because, you know, in the NFL, he's going to have to play more in structure than he did, you know, in college football. But obviously at USC, he kind of had to play out of structure, out of necessity because of how bad that offense was at times. So I thought he had a pretty good pro day. And I also, I saw Brett Coleman actually mentioned a, you know, a nugget of information where he saw, or he said that one of Caleb's teammates, Miller Moss, actually played in the Holiday Bowl. He said, because Caleb actually intentionally sat out to give him the chance to, you know, to play, because he's been waiting for his chance to play for, you know, 3 years. So I thought that was also pretty cool that Caleb, like the narratives of him being a bad teammate, of him being, you know, a cocky guy that his teammates don't like all those narratives are, you know, being destroyed over time. And I think that was good for Caleb too, that, you know, his, like what he actually is like is, you know, fully, coming into the spotlight. So it was a good day for him.
Yeah, I caught it after the fact when they aired it later at like 9 o'clock or whatever on NFL Network, and then I watched all the throws package they put out there on YouTube later again that night just to kind of rewatch it. You get nothing from it. Everything you actually need to see and care about is on his All 22, which everyone seems to have access to anymore if you go looking for it. And he is what he is, man. Like, he's quite possibly a generational prospect. We know he's a really good prospect in the vein of like a Trevor Lawrence or a Carson Palmer or whatever. Pick your guy that has been in that breadth of prospect, and that's what he is. Like, you can only take so much from a pro day. And it's funny that I'm glad that he mentioned that, because specifically with the Miller Moses thing, because we had, and I was on this very show saying, I don't know what to make of the "now we're a team" comment from his team scoring a touchdown after it. It's like, could it be that he's a bad teammate? Yeah. I mean, you can go back and listen. I was like, I don't know. Does it mean he's a bad teammate? Does it mean that it's from all the transfers that they know are coming? Is it from all the guys that just chose to sit out? Like, we just don't know. That's why you wait for the information to get out there versus saying, oh my God, he's a bad, terrible teammate. Oh my God, this. Like, we're also reactionary because of the state of the world that we're in, with everything being at the tips of our fingers in a matter of minutes, if not seconds, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Danny, you know better than anyone. And Danny and I talk offline all the time about this kind of stuff. And I was definitely the "there's smoke, there's fire" guy. And I said that repeatedly as you kept hearing little nuggets about potential issues behind the scenes coming up, whether it was his dad, whether it was Entourage, whether it was Caleb. Adam Johns did a great article when he went and watched USC play Notre Dame. And, you know, he talked about how Caleb seemed a little standoffish from the rest of the team, that his warm-up wasn't, you know, just what people would normally think, interacting with him the same way. And so I was like, oh man, here we go. You don't want him on your team. One of my biggest takeaways from yesterday was how really at the end, during it, you would, when you hear from people who were there, they talked about the energy that was there, the excitement from teammates. At the very end, you saw him get tackled by his center, and then he, you know, jumps up and does the gorilla kind of chest bump dance. Like, that was awesome. And, you know, didn't seem like something that was just for show. That's like, that's natural. That's who he is. That's how his teammates feel about him. And, you know, the tape is the tape. It's obvious how great he is. We saw, you know, his Heisman year, how great that was. The fall off of his line and weapons around him in that 23, and then also the harder schedule. Didn't necessarily, when you say he didn't do well, I mean, he still did well. But let's be real. He still like crushed it in terms of touchdowns, in terms of interceptions, in terms of yards, like all the things that really do matter. So it's just time to move on. It's time to put that to bed, time to put it to rest. And really quickly, before we jump into our mock, we're going to take a quick break here and get back after that. Mock draft time. All right, as a reminder, for those who have listened before, and for some new information, for those who have not been here before, who are popping in, Danny and I have done a couple of these. I've done a bunch of these. This is my fourth one, and Danny's second one?
Second one, and right. On top of the six we did last year, on top of the live draft remote at the brewery, like, we're a busy duo. Let's just put it that way. Very busy.
And so the rule that we have when we do these is you cannot repeat players. So I have done now four of these and have to have different creative, interesting versions. Same thing with Danny. We have another, there's going to be another one coming up, another live one. We'll do War Room Style coming up. So if your favorite person wasn't taken here, there's probably a reason. We either are taken before, or maybe they're going to be taken in the future. Just, I don't know. Don't be pissy about it. Be cool.
Oh, dude, my mentions after the last show I was on was like, I can't believe you traded back and took Jaden. Like, I didn't have a choice. I didn't want to waste my Caleb draft on the first one I was on.
And we got to run through, of course, our disclaimer.
The purpose of this mock draft is to help the hosts of Bare Bones better know the prospects of the 2024 NFL draft. They are sharing this information so you, the follower, don't have to grind tape and scouting reports as you wait patiently for the Chicago Bears to make their selection. This is not meant to be predictive. If your favorite prospect was not selected in this mock draft, check out a previous or future mock as they may be included there. If they are never selected, oh well, get over it. Taking these mocks too seriously will result in headache, nausea, diarrhea of the mouth, cold takes exposed, troll status, tool status, and undying love for a prospect who gets cut before week one.
Beautiful. Now we can move on. Everyone's happy now.
The bear scratching his ear in just complete disinterest in that video makes it, by the way.
Oh, it's so good.
That's amazing.
Yay, and we're here. So, going to kick off. Guest of the show gets to go first. Surprise to nobody. Who you take it round one, pick one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Caleb Williams. I think that's going to be the pick for the Bears. I know you guys have to pick somebody different because of the format of this mock, but it's going to be Caleb Williams, right? Like, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks I've seen in the past couple of years. And whether you want to call him generational or not, you have to at least say, like, at the very least, he's an elite prospect, like a very, very good prospect. And if you don't think he's generational, like, so be it. But I think in 2022, he definitely was, you know, one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen at the college level. He does so much right in terms of processing. I know, you know, sometimes he did have to hold on to the football a little bit too long, especially in 2023 when the supporting cast was not that good, but he made crazy Superman plays happen out of nowhere, right? Like, he'll be running all the way to one side, you know, throw a cross arm bomb downfield, somehow lands right in the receiver's hands. He, you know, can flick the ball, sidearm, stuff like that, stuff like only Mahomes can do. But he can also play in structure more than I feel like people give him credit for, because especially in 2022, sometimes there were times where he got the ball out super quick, and he has a very, very fast release, at least compared to like maybe a Justin Fields, who maybe did not have the most traditional release. I think Caleb definitely has a much quicker, much tighter, much smoother release of the football. So in terms of like the quick passing game, I think he can do that, even though he did have a high time to throw in college football. Again, I think that was mostly due to some of the outside factors in that USC offense. And if you look at his abilities as a runner, he's also very good as a runner too. Like, he has, you know, a lot of highlights on his tape of him running over people, juking people. I know his actual rushing production maybe was not the highest. And he did say recently that he would prefer to throw the football instead of running, which I like from a quarterback. But he can run with the football too if he has to. Like, he can scramble around. Maybe it's somewhat similar to like a Kyler Murray in terms of like scrambling ability. So he is a full package, in my opinion. Like, it just comes down to the fact, like, is he going to be able to translate this game to the NFL level? Because in college football, he was truly dominant. And it is pretty interesting because I think he is the first college prospect ever to have a better situation with the Bears than he did in college football. Like, you cannot say the same about Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky or any of the other quarterbacks who selected.
So before we move on from Caleb, because I don't believe you or I selected him this mock, am I correct in that, Mason?
I did not take him.
Okay. So two things. We're moving on as a Bears fan collective of having the preeminent athlete at the position in Justin Fields to a guy who is a good athlete for a quarterback, right? So there's a distinction there. Caleb Williams is a good athlete. Justin Fields was arguably the best athlete on the field at any given point. And the second point I want to touch on, just because I'm not sure if I brought it up on the show. I know I've brought it up in various conversations, whether it be in chats or at my work or whatever it might be. How much do we think that the Caleb narrative is because he's just a different kind of dude? Like, his life does not purely revolve around football. Like,
football only, Danny.
Like, he has interests into fashion and probably music. It's like, I've used it before. Like, he reminds me a lot of Russell Westbrook without the bad kid energy, where Russ kind of just did stuff and you knew like he was doing it just because he wanted to be a rebel and rebel in his own way. Versus, I think Caleb just has interests outside of football and he doesn't care what people think about him. Like, am I wrong in that sentiment? Like, it's just kind of a place I've gotten to as more of him has gotten known to the Bears fandom.
Well, I think you add in there too. I mean, he's the first of a new breed of college athlete with all the correct NIL stuff, right? Like,
right.
These are now business people. This isn't the, oh, gee, thanks, sir. Thanks for my first big contract. I'm going to buy my mom a car. Like, no, they're already buying the cars and the house and all that stuff because, especially in Caleb's case, I mean, he's already on your TV and Wendy's commercials and all this other stuff.
And like, he's already, what, made $20 million in his life between his last 2 years in college? Like,
so it's a different mentality at this point. You are a brand, and they know that already. The only thing I'll throw on to this before we move on, just to build off of Rashad's point, was in terms of how the lack of help that they had. What the Notre Dame game? I was watching JTL Sullivan, the QB school, break down that Notre Dame game today. If you're not, follow his Patreon; it's great. And it's like the first series, and I think it's the second play, and both tackles just get beat right off the edge. So Caleb has to duck under, scramble to the right, gained a positive yard, but his eyes were downfield looking for it, but none of his receivers could get separation. A little bit later, they go to run a pull play where, you know, they're trying to like leak out the tight end kind of across the middle. The right guard pulls to the left, and the right tackle oversets, the end dips inside, and immediately is pressure in his face, and he throws an interception. Like, he could make that throw. It needs to be a better throw. But that's two immediate plays where his offensive line let him down. And that's kind of the narrative of that 2023 season where he had to put on that Superman cape. And again, like Rashad said, I mean, he's going to be walking into a situation that's so much better than, first of all, almost any first round pick has walked into, period, because the team doesn't, you know, it's not their pick. And also because how terrible that team was.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Danny, traded out of the pick. Which again, reasons for it. So if you had to construct a reason as to why the Bears would trade down to pick three, what might it be?
It was more just like, say they came, I truthfully did this mock with the idea that they would come away from the pro day like, oh, we don't really like this dude's makeup. We don't want to deal with his dad or whatever it might be. And I was just like, what could it be? Full disclosure, you can go on the PFF mock draft simulator and you can fleece teams. Like, you can just take them for a ride. I tried not to do that. Like, I actively was like, if it gets below 95%, I'm not going to do it. Because then you're getting to a point where it's just like, this isn't really like, they would never trade this much to like go up two spots. And it was basically a bank on the rumors of the Commanders being more in love with the Heisman winner than Drake May. And I just kind of went and it was a hope and a prayer that May would get past two. Do I think that's going to happen in real life? No, I do not. I think May is going to, I think it's a pretty easy one too.
Danny traded with the Patriots. He got the third pick in the first round. He got their second round pick, their third round pick, their fifth round pick, along with a future third and a future fifth. So for those who are still in get the haul mode, there you go. There's your haul. I also traded back. Also with the Patriots. Isn't that funny? Mine's pretty similar. Third overall pick, their second round pick, their third round pick, their fourth round pick, and I got a future first. I thought that was more important here. You know, in theory, if you're trading away Caleb Williams, you should be getting something really awesome. Like Danny said, when I was doing this, A, because I'm trying to save Caleb for a future show, deal with that. And also B, maybe they came away from the pro day. Maybe his dad was all over the field and in people's ears and annoying. Maybe Caleb didn't do well when they had dinner the night before. But so in this fake scenario, that's why this happened. it's, again, not all that likely. But Danny, round one, pick three, ends up taking Mitch Trubisky, right?
Yeah, totally Mitch. Number 10 in Carolina Blue, it's Mitch Trubisky, right? I took Drake May. For a long time, until I got the opportunity to really, you know, being a new dad takes up a lot of time, believe it or not. So I haven't been able to delve into draft stuff as much as I usually do. I am a self-proclaimed draft fanalist. I go into tens of hundreds of prospects every year, and I'm just, it's a little harder for me now with a newborn at home. But for a while there, I was team Drake is number one over Caleb for reasons that I still think are valid, but are not, were previously overstated. Drake May is a close a prospect to Caleb as you could possibly want. And I think where he is limited is that his ceiling just isn't Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think if everything goes right for Caleb, he's Aaron Rodgers, versus if May, everything goes right, it's like Josh Allen meets Justin Herbert. And that's a really damn good football player. Big arm, hits a lot of trick shots. He's a better runner than Caleb Williams is. He's actually a really highly effective runner when he takes off and does it. He did have some struggles down the stretch, but again, he legitimately, statistically, had a worse supporting cast around him than Caleb Williams did, and he still shouldered the load and did what he could to try to make things as best he could. The big thing for me about him that I subscribe to is little brother syndrome. He's got the big brothers ahead of him that were baseball players, successful baseball players, a successful All-American basketball player, and Lucas May, I believe, who's not playing overseas pro. So I believe in like that stuff of like, this kid never had anything handed to him. He always had to go and earn his athletic keep, as it were. The biggest issue that I just makes me want to throw my computer across the room when I watch him is whichever way he's throwing, he tends to drift. Like if he's throwing left, he's drifting left. If he's throwing right, he drifts right. It's really annoying and it's a tell, but you know, whatever. If they were to walk, if there was a trade back scenario to two or three and they wound up with Drake May, I'd be really hard pressed to be truly upset. I'd be bummed, but not upset, if that makes sense.
Who did the Commanders take here, Danny?
Do you recall? They did take Jaden.
Okay.
They took Jaden.
Rashad, I don't know how you take in your NFL draft evening, first round, but like wherever you're going to be sitting at your couch at a bar, or whatever, and this came across your screen of trade down to three for that, and Drake May was now the starting quarterback of the Bears. What would your mentality be?
I mean, I wouldn't be as mad as I would be if we selected somebody like JJ McCarthy or, you know, any, but that's not even realistic, right? Like, I still like Drake May, just like Danny mentioned, for like a lot of the same reasons. Like, he can still, like, he is still like a very high caliber prospect, and especially if you get a lot to trade back, I guess that wouldn't be the most mad. Like, I would trust Ryan Poles, but it would be a very explosive evening on Bears Twitter. I'll just say that. Like, I think a lot of people would be pissed.
Oh man, I could not be on Bears Twitter that if that happened at this point. I also, as I mentioned, obviously traded back to pick three, but I took the man that in Danny's mock went second, Jane Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. 6'4", 210 pounds. So he's a light feather in the wind of a man. I mean, he was very productive last year.
Over, I think 210 is generous for him too.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. It's wild. Almost 4,000 passing yards last year, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 135 rushing attempts for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. 5-year starter, so he has all the experience in the world. 3 at Arizona State, 2 at LSU. I mean, he's got that elite level athleticism for his position, burst, agility, speed, rare blend of playmaking talents and command of the pocket. He manages pockets well, shows his toughness consistently in and out of the pocket, maintains a passing platform when sliding around, keeps his eyes downfield, works through progressions and good footwork and mechanics, good ability to create, and recognizes pre-snap pressure, highly accurate on those deep balls. However, as we just kind of alluded to, he is skinny as hell. I fear for his life every time he runs, and he pairs it with really no regard for his own life. I mean, if you look up Jaden Daniels' hits, it's gross in terms of how he does that.
Mason, I think it's funny because I believe on my first show for the mock draft series this year, I said he sacrifices himself to the football gods. Yeah. I think there is a timeline in which he is a very good football player. I would call him a shooting star, where I don't think his prime or his peak is going to last very long, because he doesn't know how to not sacrifice himself. He just loves to get hit. Like, and it's, he doesn't have the, like, put it this way, Cam Newton had a short career and was objectively massive. A shooting star, and he was built like a brick shit house. Jaden Daniels is built like a speed wide receiver.
Yeah, essentially. He also has a pretty average throwing velocity. I don't love that. And you don't want to take this away from him, but I mean, he had elite weapons around him, right? I mean, two of his receivers are going to be top 20 picks, one of them potentially a top 10. And so how much of it is him? Because he didn't do great at Arizona State. He always got a little better, but he didn't take the big jump until he got to LSU. And I just don't really love how he ranks amongst peers in certain categories. This data that I'm about to share is from our friend on Twitter, @StartKyleOrton, who is not the biggest Jaden Daniels supporter. So in terms of lowest career attempt percent, middle of the field over 10 yards, Jaden has 18.1% of his attempts. Those people who are worse than him, Christian Hackenberg, Teddy Bridgewater, Marcus Mariota, and Justin Fields. If you want to compare it to this class, Caleb was at 21.9%, May was at 23.1%, and JJ was at 22%. So much more willing throwers over the middle. In terms of lowest percent of deep passing attempts on first and second down, second round draft picks since 2015, he worked ranked seventh worst behind guys like Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Bryce Young, and Mac Jones. Lowest career attempt percent over 10 air yards, he ranked sixth worst behind guys like Daniel Jones, Christian Hackenberg, Bo Nix. And let's just compare him to some of the guys in this draft. Deep pass attempt percent, 13.9%. Caleb was at 17.6 and Drake was at 18.1. Clean pocket scramble percent. So scrambling when no need to. He was at 9.4%. Caleb was at 3. Drake was at 6.9. And JJ was at 3.0. Pressure scramble rate. So when he's being pressured, he's at 25% versus Caleb being at 12.4, Drake at 19.7, and JJ at 12.5. My comp for him ultimately is if you had Tyrod Taylor and Justin Fields and they had like a love child, and that would be kind of Jaden Daniels. He's got arm talent. He just doesn't throw it where you want him to throw it, and he runs around too much. And we kind of just went through this with the Justin Fields, ride. I love Justin. Justin's my dude. I hope he succeeds in Pittsburgh. I'm going to get a Justin Fields Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. It's going to happen. We did this, and it didn't work. I just don't love this. But the mock fell this way, and that's how I rolled.
Yeah, I mean –
go ahead, take it.
Just like you guys said, like I would not be the happiest because he is kind of like I don't want to say like a lesser version of Fields, but he's very similar to Fields in some ways as a prospect.
He's Kirkland Justin. It's okay.
Yeah, right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being a Kirkland brand of somebody.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, so you got the trade on the screen right now. So I did trade back from pick number 9, and there would have to be somebody available on the board for the Colts to go up and get for them to give up a second round pick and a fifth round pick. But this did go through in the mock draft simulator that PFF had. So I think it is reasonable to some extent, if there is like a Joe Alt or, like a Roma Dunze or somebody for the Colts to want to pair with Anthony Richardson, I think they would, want to go up and get their guy.
Oh, don't say that to Mason. If Roma Dunze is there and they trade out, Mason might have a coronary.
I swear I will be inconsolable and miserable to be around especially if Rome's there. If Malik is there, number 2, Rome's my guy. But if either of those two are there and the Bears trade out, a month of just awfulness. You don't want to follow me on Twitter during that time period.
Rashab, you weren't at the brewery doing the live remote for when they passed Jalen Carter.
What was his reaction?
He looked like he wanted to die.
It was just months of building up to, oh my God, this is happening. Like, just sitting there. And, maybe it's fine in the long run. This isn't a Jalen Carter stream, but like, it bothered me. I mean, blue chip sitting there bothered me. Daniel, it worked out. Darnell Wright's awesome. He's going to be a Pro Bowler.
Would you still have Jalen Carter going back if I had to ask?
If I had to go back in time, no, I'm okay with how it turned out.
Honestly, I probably would go the other way. Back in time, I probably would take Jalen Carter.
That's fair, because this year you have the chance to get the OT.
I mean, all things being equal, Jalen Carter was a menace to society last year until they gave the play calling over to The big fat man.
Matt Patricia, rocket scientist. Yeah,
no, I'm not giving him the dignity of his name. He's the big fat man.
You know what? You bring up a good point. I probably would go back and go Jalen Carter, because if you could have him in the middle of this defense and with Montez Sweat,
and then you take Joe Alvarado, who is the
JC Latham, but that's a whole other conversation.
All right. Regardless, we can't go back in time. It doesn't matter. Darnell Wright's going to be awesome. Jalen Carter's probably going to be awesome. Everybody wins. Whatever.
So for my mock, in this scenario, all three guys were gone. You know, so NHJ, Roma Dunze, and Malik Nabers all gone. I had a quarterback sitting there, and the Vikings called me. They said, "Would you like 2 first-round picks?" And I said, "Okay, you know, this is my NFC North tax. This is my quarterback tax." The mock didn't love it. It was like a 10% chance of going through, but it went through. And I think in this scenario, I don't think it's that illogical when you combine those two factors that you're going to have to pay out the butt if you want this person. Otherwise, I'll trade this pick to the Raiders, who might want to come up for a JJ.
Did they take JJ?
They took JJ in this scenario, yeah.
Yeah.
Which would also be okay with me for in the long run. So I'll have some interesting picks coming up in the first. Danny also traded a lot of trade. This is the trade back podcast for this mock. Trade it back. He got with the Eagles, their pick at 22 in the first, their pick in the second round, their pick in the fourth round, their pick in the fifth round, their future third, and a future fifth in 2025.
See, again, this is Mason's fault. He didn't tell me there's a trade cap, so I'm just going to keep trading if I don't like the players on the board.
Who is sitting? So I assume the receivers were gone?
The receivers were gone, and the two top edges were gone.
Oh, interesting.
The two edges I really wanted. So I believe Verse went the pick before, and Latu. Was it Latu was gone? I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at it.
So it makes sense, you know. And you got a nice little haul here. So you're going to hear a lot of Danny voice in this podcast because he's got 1,000 picks.
Yeah, don't mind me.
So next in order, I traded back again. So I was sitting there. The Raiders wanted to come.
You're a hypocriticizer. Shut up.
I can't remember who they wanted. Like, it was the same thing. I didn't love the people that were there. And someone that I have my eye on later, I knew I could probably get with a later pick, who I think is going to rival and challenge certain players who were sitting here available. I think it's going to be a steal of the draft, so I waited. I ended up moving back 2 spots with the Raiders. I got a 3rd-round pick this year and a 4th-round pick this year. So, you know, I'm kind of trying to balance between, you know, taking blue-chip players when there, but also trying to get some future draft capital. So finally, a pick gets to go through after all this trading back. Rashad is up. He, in round 1, pick 15. What you got?
Yeah, I picked Latu from UCLA. And the big thing with this pick is obviously going to be the medicals. I know Mason is concerned about that. You know, he has the medical background, obviously. Like, I don't know anything really about the medical profession. So, you know, if there is something to be concerned about with his neck, then maybe the Bears are not going to go after him. Like, that's the only reason where I could see him not being the first edge off the board, because if you watch him in college, like, he definitely was the best edge in college football, in my opinion. Like, the production was there. I don't have the stats in front of me. Let me pull them up. But he had 13 sacks last year, 21.5 tackles for loss, 49 total tackles, 2 forced fumbles. Like, this guy was an absolute beast last year. He's the most, ready for the NFL pass rusher, I'd say. He tested pretty well, too. I think his RAS score was, like, above, like, 9.3 or something like that. Pretty lengthy guy. And, you know, some people do question his fit in the Eberflus scheme. Maybe he's not the most perfect fit, but I think he would fit, you know, based on what he showed in college football. And in terms of run defense, he was pretty decent, too. Like, he was a, you know, plus run defender, I would say, as well. So there's everything to like in this guy. The only thing to not like is that he medically retired from football and he missed, like, I think 2 full seasons or something like that. So, like, there is definitely the question mark where, you know, you wonder if is he going to even be able to play, you know, football for more than, you know, 2 or 3 years. Is the neck injury going to flare up? And is that going to be an issue, especially with the high pick, like pick number 15? So if all the medicals do clear out, I think Latu would be the best edge on the board for the Bears.
He had a neck fusion. Like, he had the Peyton Manning surgery, right? Okay. So I love Latu's tape. I love his handwork. He's got the best hands in this class of any edge defender, and it's not particularly close. But he does worry me as well, because I can't be the guy who says, Tevin Jenkins, there's no such thing as a minor back surgery, and then sit here and say, well, I'm not worried about Batu's neck, because it's like same, right? It's like the same idea. Like, this dude literally had his neck fused and had to step away from the game before getting medically cleared again. And as I've talked about with Mason on the show, off the show, you go to enough doctors, you'll find a doctor who's going to clear you to do what you want to do.
Oh, so I did that in freaking high school, and I basically broke my ankle, and I got cleared for the next week. I was playing outside linebacker, hobbling around. It was great. I don't want to get too medically within this. I mean, I can always potentially do so if people want me to, but long story short, you know, when you have a neck fusion, right, that joint cannot move. That is the point. You fuse it because it's too mobile and is probably putting pressure on things like spinal cord, which is very important. If you slip that disc, no, you could die, kind of a thing. So you fuse the neck. The problem with that ends up being that things above and below it have to work harder and move more in order to get the job done that it was trying to do before. And now you have more wear.
I look like somebody named Tom Grossi, according to our comments. I have no idea who this guy is.
You actually do. Now that he brought that up, you actually
do. Yeah, no, the comments brought it up to me. I don't know who this dude is, but sure, why not? Every white ginger looks the same. Yeah, sure, why not? Cool, I guess. It's better than I normally get Kevin Love, so I don't know, whatever.
And so your concern with Latu ends up being not right away, because like they both these gentlemen just said, his tape is outstanding, his motor is outstanding, his movement quality is outstanding. You're concerned about mine, concerned about 3 years down the line, right? And when you're investing this high of, you know, pick 15, the first round, you want someone that's going to get to a second contract. And I'm not confident. I don't have no access to his medical records, but even in the best of circumstances, you're going to have some funkiness that goes on there. And there's going to be some maintenance down the road. At round one, pick 13, after all of the trade backs, I'm taking Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State. This of the edges, I feel is the most flusy of guys in terms of kind of his makeup and everything like that. 6'4", 254 pounds. He had 12.5 tackles for loss, 41 total tackles and 9 sacks last year. His motor, his play style is awesome. Again, very flusy, just doesn't have the flash of a Dallas Turner. His RAS score was 9.53, which would have ranked him 78 out of over 1600 defensive ends from 1987 to 2024. That's made up of a 4.58 4-yard dash, a 1.6 10-yard split, which is elite. This guy has the athleticism and skills to pour in the stack column, fast first step and a quick reaction, uses his hands super well as a pass rusher with some nice finesse moves like a cross chop and an arm over. He is really sudden, combative handwork to beat the punch. He brings a seasoned pass rush plan to the table, right? So he's got a counter to the counter, which is fantastic. Polished technique, controls bigger blockers at the point with his leverage and power. Turns speed to power as a rusher with a strength and leg drive to collapse the pocket. Bend to dip under the lengthiest of tackles, which is huge. And the motor on him, like I said, is incessant. He reflects this high-effort player, relentless energy. Lacks the ideal size and length that a lot of teams do necessarily want. He needs another inside move as a counter. While the collegiate tackle for loss numbers are there, there's some skepticism if that translates to the NFL. He gets caught coming up the field too much when unblocked versus the run, and that can lead to some missed tackles in the backfield. Offensive tackles can stall him if they get inside of him. See that a little bit too often. I mean, I think he'll be one of the best defensive players coming out of this draft, just in terms of his consistency. Like, that's going to be, you know, he will just always more or less be in the right place at the right time with the pass rush. Just needs a little more work on that running.
Yeah. To your point, Mason, I really like Verse. I think his issue is he's just not sexy when you watch him play. He's solid, jack of all trades, master of none. There's nothing you look at him in this class and be like, he's the absolute best at this in his class. But he's in the top three or top four of everything he does in this class. So it's like, do you want that? Or do you want Chop Robinson, who has the best first step and best get off in this class? Chop Robinson offends me. I will not pick him. I would not pick him. If they pick him, I'll be very upset because I think he sucks.
Well, and it also goes back to your whole Penn State thing you say all the time, where like it's all of these guys with so much potential, but no one ever develops there.
But no one's ever developed. Yeah. James Franklin's a great recruiter, a terrible coach. Sweet. Fantastic. But yeah, Jared Verse is solid. I really like Jared Verse. He's a bully. His best attribute is he's strong as hell. So good for him.
Daniel, round one, pick 22. What'd you take? Who'd you take?
Jerzon Newton, Jerry, as he goes by now. So Jerry is going to be probably your most prototypical, quote unquote, three technique. When I first traded back, I now remember it was an edge I wanted. So I wanted Verse, and Verse was gone. Latu went, I believe. And then the defensive tackle from Texas went. Not Sweat, the other one whose name I'm...
Byron Murphy.
They all went. So I was like, all right, I'm going to trade back, and I'll hope Jerry falls and I can get the Flus true three technique. For as much as we saw Jervon come on to end the year, he still leaves something to be desired, in my opinion. Jervon is a great athlete. He's got a good first step. He's strong. I think he was far and away the best defender on the Illinois defense, and he wreaked havoc in a number of games. The Syracuse game, I want to say, comes to mind. But he was very, very, very good. I actually had him before I got deeper into my draft evaluation. I think there was an argument to be made where he was the best defender in this whole entire draft class.
Oh, wow.
But I've since come off that stance. If he were there at 22, which I don't think he would be, I think the league is probably higher on him than the Sims are in the draft community is and on Twitter. But I think he would be an ideal fit as a true three technique defensive penetrating defensive tackle in this cover two Eberflus scheme, which is the most rudimentary way of saying it, but it's the easiest way I can convey my point.
Rashab, as an Illinois alum, how would you feel about this?
Oh, I would love this pick. I kind of wish I went with him instead of Latu now at this point. I think both of them would be solid on the Bears. But yeah, just like Danny mentioned, like, he is a very explosive interior pass rusher, and he definitely has a higher ceiling than Jervon Dexter does, I would say. And I think he is like a Flus type of guy too, where he brings it all the
time. He's a motor guy.
He is a motor guy. In practice, in the game, like, he's always going at 100%. No plays off from him. So I would be
I was gonna say one of his issues actually is he overcommits when he thinks something's happening. He will just, whatever, this is the target, I'm going for this, and he'll just make the mistake. But I guess better to overcommit than just not get off the ball.
Full send, no breaks. It'd also be cool, just a quick thing, just to have someone from who went, not say from here, but who wins to a University of Illinois. You just don't get to see that very often, being like a top pick or go to Chicago. That'd be cool. All right, this is who I was talking about earlier. Who I was alluding to?
AD!
Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas at round one, pick 23 after some trade backs. I think this guy could be the person where you look back and say, like, how was he drafted so late? Like, it makes no sense. He had 6'2", 205 pounds, 55 receptions for 845 yards, 11 touchdowns. My comp for him is George Pickens, but not insane. he's got the size, speed, and ball skills to be great. Not good, great football player. He can beat, press, and accelerate. It's kind of like Spider-Man with how wide a catch radius is. His ability to snare balls outside his frame is insane. Mitchell is rugged after the catch and ability to become a winner on all three levels. Already using NFL 2-foot drop near boundaries, able to break tackles and fall forward for positive yards after catch. He had a 9.97 out of 10 RAS, 4.35 40, 39.5-inch vertical, 11-foot-4-inch broad jump. I mean, this guy, like, is just insane athleticism-wise. Con side. So he's still learning how to win in space the point of the catch. Cornerbacks can get inside his body a bit, which can be a bit frustrating. He sometimes fights the ball a bit too much, not as natural hands as, like, a Marvin Harrison Jr. Route running isn't as consistent as you'd like it to be, but I think, kind of like the Penn State thing, I don't put a lot of stock in Texas developing people in their route trees. He doesn't really play with the aggression or sustain when asked to run block. He just thinks blocking is an option. And some are going to talk about his character concerns, but that's more of a football character than who he is as a person. It's not George Pickens' character concerns, where, you know, he's been called out for taking plays off, hustle effort issues, you know, intensity can fluctuate from game to game. When asked at the combine about this, he said it was for rest so he could go full speed on other plays. So for me, it's like, is that his choice he's making, or is he being coached to do that? Because if it's the former, he's not going to be a Flus guy, and Foose would just destroy him after just 1 week of training camp. You know, the difference between becoming a wide receiver two or a wide receiver one could rest on his urgency and willingness to go to work in some of those unpolished areas of his game. But he's got that crazy upside.
AD is not, it's not a perfect comp, but the person he first reminded me of just in terms of his body type and physique and his run after catch ability was actually Ayuk coming out of Arizona State a few years ago. It's not perfect, but that's who he kind of reminded me of. Bigger, like more filled out, but same idea. And I think Ayuk like wide receiver two in that draft. So
very nice. Do you have any thoughts on Adonai Mitchell there?
Yeah, man, I think I'd be happy. Like, I guess I haven't watched like too much of him, like a crazy amount, but yeah, the physical tools are all there. Like you mentioned, like 9.97 RAS, some crazy numbers. So I'm sure if the Bears think they can develop him, which we have not been great at developing receivers as of late, you know, maybe it could still be a, you know, option to take a flyer on.
Yeah, I think
Rashad, I would say the positive with him is that since you now have Keenan Allen, you don't need him to be that wide receiver too. So you have some time.
Yeah. Don't go watching his film if you don't want to. Quinn Ewers makes you want to flip a table.
Yeah, when I was watching him, it was like he's so fun to watch, and I was like, can I have anybody else throw him the ball? Anybody else? All right, Rashad, back up at round two, pick 46. These are slightly out of order. Who cares? Everything's fine. Yeah. We got Deion Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State.
Yeah, we'd be super lucky if he's available on the board at pick number 46. I think the Panthers probably are going to select him at pick number 33. He'd be a perfect fit in their offense, you know, and he's a big body guy. I believe he's 6'4". Don't have the measurements in front of me, but yeah, around 6'4", like 215. So he's definitely built like that X receiver. And he could be a number one in the NFL, I feel like, eventually, like especially after Keenan Allen eventually leaves, like he could develop here for a couple of years behind Keenan. Maybe perfect his route running a little bit more because especially at the top of his routes, he's not as, you know, as nuanced, I'd say, as some other good route runners are in the NFL. So definitely has some room to grow in his game. But in terms of like going up and high pointing a ball, ball skills, hands, like he's one of the best in this entire class. And he was being viewed as a first round receiver before last year, I feel like. And he still had a decent year last year, right? Like he still had 650 yards or something like that. But that Florida State offense kind of shared targets between Johnny Wilson, a couple other guys they had. So he didn't get the ball maybe as much as he could have, but he would be a fantastic number three option on this team, right? Like he still has some of that high athleticism too, where he's not the fastest like straight line speed, but he does have some explosion. His RAS was still, I believe, like above 8 or something like that. I don't have in front of me right now, but I still recall it being relatively high even after not having a very fast 40-yard dash time. And I just feel like he'd be a, you know, very good all-around receiver for the Chicago Bears, especially as a number three. Like, that'd be a fantastic, you know, number three option.
Yeah, he was the kind of guy where, you know, when you watch – when you're looking at the advanced analytics of his speed, his play speed is way faster than what his, like, 40-yard time would suggest. He just doesn't – he just doesn't get up to that top speed – but he can use it a lot more efficiently than some of these other guys can, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, Keon is the ultimate, the nerds hate him. The true, like, football people love him. Yeah. And it's like, it's a clash of the, like, I'm a Keon guy. So I'm not going to wax poetic. I won't get into it.
So technically this pick should have gone first, but whatever, things happen. Round two, pick 34, Danny and I picked the exact same person. You know, we're melding the brains together.
Smooth brain syndrome.
Beefing up the middle here. Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. Danny, why did you take him?
Best player on the board and a needed center. I don't think that they have a long-term answer at center, and Frazier is a good athlete. He fits the scheme. Easy long-term solution. You don't have to worry about like ruffling feathers. Like no one's going to question your ulterior motive if you take him. He's probably going to come in and immediately start. Like, whatever. You don't take a center at 34 and not start him, kind of thing.
If you want one of the centriest of center prospects, like, this is who you take. He's a 4-year starter at West Virginia with that run heavy scheme. I mean, he like had 47 career starts, 38 at center and 9 at left guard. I mean, one of the main knocks that puts him below someone like a Jackson Powers Johnson is that he's a center only prospect versus JPJ might be able to slide to guard and stuff like that. But I mean, for the Bears, at least, I could not care less, just because with Ryan Bates being, you know, in a depth piece, you already have enough of that there. You obviously went out and you got a center now in Coleman, who, you know, whether you start him, whether you bring Frazier along slower, he is coming off an injury. He had that broken fibula that limited him. So, like, maybe he doesn't start right away. It kind of just depends on how you want to look at it. I don't really care. Long story short, he's fantastic. I mean, I love that he's got a wrestling background. He is a heavyweight state champion with two career losses, and you see that on film. I mean, he blocks like a wrestler. That squatty build, fantastic. He's a proficient zone and gap run blocker, a great puller, leader on the O-line who makes pre-snap calls negative-wise. He needs to anchor better. You know, he's a little shallow in his pass sets, and his athletic ability is, you know, fine on tape, but it's not like fantastic. It's not amazing. And also, we didn't get to see him test at the combine because he was still recovering from that broken fibula. But, you know, if you're sitting there and he's there, he's the potential to be a good backup or even eventual starter, but he needs to play with consistent inside hands and to stay tight in his targets in order to mitigate some of his physical deficiencies that he does have.
Yeah, I think that'd be a solid pick, especially, you know, he could develop here, right? Like, he doesn't have to start right away, especially with the injury he had. You know, we already have some options now at center, so I'd be a fan of that pick.
I'm good with Frazier. Like, the wrestling background and interior lineman will always play well with me as a former – A, I wrestled a good percentage of my youth growing up. And B, like, going back even to, God, it had to be the 17 or 18 draft with Brian Allen coming out of Michigan State. He was, like, a state champion wrestler out of Illinois, out of Hinsdale before going to Michigan State. So I'm always a fan if you're a wrestler on the interior.
Hey, wrestlers got to stick together. My years in high school and college, I will always gravitate to wrestlers every time. Danny's up. Round two, pick 50. One of my favorite prospects. Actually, I had him in my first mock. Jatavion Sanders, tight end out of Texas.
Mutant at the position. Does things people his size should not be able to do. Is he refined? No. Is he kind of a project? Yes. You're purely picking him on the basis of the hypothetical of what he potentially could be. I haven't truthfully watched a ton of him. Again, being a new dad, things get in the way. But you catch him here and there when you watch AD or you watch Quinn Ewers or whatever it might be, because I watched a fair amount of Quinn Ewers thinking he was coming out this year. He's fun. He's a physically gifted man at the position. I think he'd be much more your move tight end than the true Y, which is fine because Cole Kmet's your Y tight end going forward. I don't need to cover him too much. I know he's been picked, I believe, twice in our series. So, yeah, Jatavion was there, seemed like the best player on the board and filled somewhat of a position of need because I believe that they really don't have a long-term answer out at that sort of move tight end position because Cole Kmet is more of your traditional Y.
And I like the addition of Gerald Everett, but he's smaller than I would want him to be. So I don't know.
Older than you think.
Like, yeah, he's been around a little longer than you think. He was in the Adam Shaheen draft.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was picked one pick before Adam Shaheen.
I'm sorry, Baby Gronk. Don't you disparage the good name of Adam Shaheen, sir, sir, sir.
Eater of all the Chipotle burritos to gain weight. round three, pick 68. I'm continuing to add beef with Tavondre Sweat, D lineman out of Texas. First off, I don't think he's going to be here. Like, I don't.
No way.
But the mock, when he was there, so I took him. I don't know. I'm not going to play that game of like, this isn't going to happen because it's just stupid at that point. I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, if you want to know why he should be drafted, you don't look at Zarius. He's scored a 3.9, but that's not the reason that you're taking him. He was the 2023 Outland Trophy winner, you know, who's given to the nation's top interior lineman, O-line, D-lineman, first team Associated Press All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, played in 14 games with 8 starts, 45 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 4 PBUs, which is pretty great for a 366-pound behemoth of a man. I mean, the name of the game is Speed Eater. He's not quick. He's not explosive, but the opposing offense has to commit their entire offensive line to him, their support staff, the scouting department. Literally everyone has to help block this man. He's just so large. He can play in odd and even fronts and can play more snaps than others at his position. The con is there's a little bit of a weird hop, stand-up hitch thing he does sometimes, and it's like, what are you doing? He's not going to rack up stats, and he lacks a little acceleration off the line of scrimmage. and you might have a conditioning concern with him. You see the performance goes as the game wears on. That happens when you're that big. You know, his comp is, to me, is a Vita Vea. But again, he will not be there at this pick. The Bears have no chance of drafting him. But if for some reason they had the opportunity to, you know, is it a position of need? No. But he is just awesome. He's just super good.
And the king of self-awareness, the combine interview where he's just like, hey, what do you think you're going to run? He's like, man, I'm a 4.4 athlete. I'm all about it. Like, Tavondre's probably one of, if you had to, like, give yourself a hashtag my guy or whatever, he's in there for me. Like, I have a soft spot for certain players of a era gone by, hard-hitting safeties, your two-down thumping linebackers, and dudes like him. You know, I remember years ago, what was it? Irish Chocolate coming out, rest his soul, Lewis Nix. Like, I enjoyed him because he was another one of these big clogging space eaters. Like, I like guys who are still going to make a name and some money for themselves in an era that no longer fits their skill set.
Danny, round three, pick 68. Who'd you take?
Xavier Leggett. Late bloomer, 1 year of production. If it weren't for him and Spencer Rattler, the Gamecocks would have been one of the worst teams in college football. There's really no way around that, in my personal opinion. He is a specimen. I believe he scored above a 9 on the RAS as well, which makes him into the elite company. I don't have his RAS numbers pulled up in front of me. He's another – it's more projection than it is substance and previous production. He just needs work and refinement. Like, and I think if the Bears were to pick him in this range, I don't think he would be here. I think he's going in the second round somewhere. He just doesn't have a whole body work when you look at him. He's fast. He's big. He's strong. He's tall. I always use like Danielle Hunter as like the edge defender. Like if you were to build Danielle Hunter in a lab, that's what a edge defender should look like. If you were to build a wide receiver in a lab of what they should look like, it's him. I mean, look, he looks like he's carved from granite. It's just, he needs more time. He needs refinement. He needs development.
Yeah, he had right a really now, good, that final year he had was great, but that was the 1 year. So
there's nothing else you can hang your hat on for him. Like, same thing with Jatavion. Like, it feels like it's all theoretical, not the here and now.
Rashab, round three, pick 75. Who'd you take?
I picked Cedric Van Pran, who was a fan favorite in Bears Twitter. I feel like before last season started, then last season happened, and he kind of got, you know, taking off a lot of Bears fans' mock drafts. I feel like even though there still was a lot of good I saw out of him last year, and, you know, I think he's a 3-year starter, so he has some experience playing in the SEC against some of the best competition, and he played in like a zone type scheme where I think the fit could be relatively decent with the Chicago Bears. He's not, I guess, a high level like elite athlete, but he is a good enough athlete where I think he did score like a 7.0 or higher than that on the RAS scale. And in terms of like toughness, like this is a very tough dude, a dude that does want to finish blocks. He brings that nasty mentality, you know, to the offensive line, which especially at the center spot, like you need that in your center. And with the guys we have had in Sam Mustafa and Cody Whitehair, watched Cody Whitehair, like it's not been good center play out of the Bears the past couple of years. And the center is one of the most important, you know, parts of the offensive line. I know, you know, people don't think that anymore because, you know, you got guard help, you know, people don't view center as like an elite premium position anymore, but especially for a rookie quarterback, I think it does matter to have high level center play. So you put this guy behind, who do we have right now, Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates at the center spot, develop him. I think he could be a good starter in like a year or two when those guys leave the Bears and he's, you know, ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, I mocked him at one point, I think it might have been the first one. first of all, he'd be available in the range that the Bears might have a pick. That's always important. Right now, the Zach Frazier and all that, it's unlikely. I think he's a very intellectual guy. Like you said, not the most athletic. But at that spot, I mean, you really only have to pull a couple of feet. I mean, he can pull that off. And like you said, it's a developmental thought process. So I love the pick.
He feels safe. I feel like you know you're getting a solid football player, whether he's a backup or a starter.
Yeah. And after the trash can and revolving doors the Bears have had at center, can we just get something solid, please?
Trash can.
Round three, pick 75 as well.
Ooh, Gabriel. Hi, Gabriel. The first thing that stood out to me when I watched him, so again, you watch Latu, you're going to watch Gabriel too. He's going to stand out sometimes because he is a draftable prospect. The first thing that really stood out to me is pad level. So first rule of wrestling or football, low man wins. He stays low. He wins with pad level. He wins with get off, and he's a technician with his hands. So I should look into who the defensive line coach is at UCLA, because they all seem to be pretty good hand fighters and technicians in terms of what they do. He is a pretty good athlete. I think he ran sub 4.7 in the 40. So that would indicate a pretty good get off. I doubt he's one of these guys who's like still accelerating at the 25, 30 yard mark. But he was more a pick of, I need an edge defender. He's here. I know I like his tape from what I've seen, the couple games that I really kind of focused on him. So I'm going to take him. I know at the very least, I think you could probably bring him in with his athleticism and his ability to use his hands and his pad level, and probably expect him to get 3+ sacks as a rookie. And then wreak some havoc and other where you're just doing pressures and hurries. Like, again, I know we think of pass rushing as just sack numbers, but there's so much more to that. Are you forcing the quarterback out of the pocket? Are you making him uncomfortable? This, the other, like, and then especially with the sweat effect and whatnot, like, I think he'd be a worthwhile mid-round gamble for who's already had previous production, not like Dominique Robinson, who I did admittedly did like when they picked him, and I liked him at Ohio or Miami, Ohio. But it was more the theoretical, like he's this big, strong, fast, like freak of an athlete, but he hasn't played much football.
When you do mocks like these, you consistently get the reminder that if you don't get an edge in one or two, all of a sudden you start looking at these guys and their names, you're like, man, that guy doesn't have the size I want. That guy doesn't have the athleticism I want. Like, that guy's not as productive as, and that's the reason that's why they're a third or a fourth round pick, because there's an issue there.
Yeah. I think he's 6'2". So he's not what you would describe as a prototype.
My turn at pick 75. You can never have too many cornerbacks. And I went with Max Melton out of Rutgers.
I like Max.
Both parents played sports at Rutgers. His dad, Gary, played wide receiver and running back. His mom was part of the women's basketball team. His brother, Bo, was a seventh round pick by the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, did play for the Packers and had some catches against the Bears. He is an explosive corner, RAS of 9.65 with a 4.39 40 yard dash, a 1.52 10 yard split, a 40 and a half inch vertical. He can play slot or outside. He carries good size and did a nice job staying with a better receiving option from the Big Ten. Good awareness and zone coverage with good spacing, displays good anticipation of routes, and quickly reacts to threats. At his best, he's put size forward in front of him in zone, searching for clues to jump in and make plays on the football. But he can play press man, aggressive and physical defender in the run game, takes on blocks with his hands, looks to quickly discard, very good in close quarters, triggers and fills gaps in the backfield. Negative-wise, his footwork and transitions can be a little inefficient sometimes. Get caught staring at the quarterback a bit too much. Doesn't trust his instincts enough, in my opinion, which causes him to be a little late off his breaks, and he can be beaten too easily across his face at the goal line, short yardage, slants. Relies on reading the receiver's eyes or finding the football. I mean, this guy could be available in the third round, but, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes up in the second.
That is a pretty interesting pick, though, with how much the Bears have invested in the cornerbacks the last couple of years. But like you mentioned, like, you can never have enough cornerbacks, especially with injuries. And with it being a passing league, like, I don't think I would be mad at selecting a corner, even if it is a, you know, round three pick.
Well, that and Jalen's going to hurt his shoulder at some point.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I hate to be like that guy, but he's never not hurt his shoulder.
That's a good point.
if I'd only traded back like once, or if I had, or maybe if the Bears only had four picks, you don't. Like, there's a couple plays. Like, Tavondre Sweat's not good, wouldn't have gotten drafted.
Oh, yeah.
Horner doesn't get drafted, like you said, because you have enough investment there. If you somehow, you know, King pulls it and get a bunch of draft picks, yeah, you could, you know, throw something out there. Oh, I am up again. Round three, pick 77. The not as talked about tackle out of Notre Dame, Blake Fisher. 6'6", 312 pounds. Long 2-year starter at right tackle for Notre Dame, long limbed and rather high cut, plays well with decent athletic ability, but did not test as well as I thought he would. RAS of 7.72, so you know, a little bit on the lower side. Again, luxury pick. You don't need a tackle, but you know, do the Bears move on from a Larry Borum at some point just because he, you know, he's been fine-ish. So maybe
he's got his bonus coming too.
He's got his bonus coming, so if you can move on from him sooner rather than later, avoid that. Back to Blake Fisher. He's dominant in the run game with explosive hips, hands, and kick out blocks. Love what he does on combo blocks and lead pulls, showing agility. Mirrors edges really well with quick feet. Shows a solid foundation to both gap and zone schemes. He's a little slow out of the stance, and the hands not always in sync and can have them attacked. Angles to linebackers on cutoff blocks, he can whiff, and his aggressiveness can sometimes lead to oversetting, leaving him vulnerable to inside moves. Overall, I think Fisher is a young, long, and powerful blocker with good athletic ability who can be an asset in zone run game at tackle. He has a more boomer bust element to his game as a pass protector, and he's going to have need development before he can be a consistent starter. But he has the runaway and traits for that to happen. So he's more, I think he's actually more talented than Alt is, like in terms of just pure tools, but he just nowhere is consistent or technically sound. So if someone can like wrangle him in, like he could be a really late steal.
You mean in terms of his technical ability to play the position, right? Not like, because Alt's like a freak.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Alt is like a mutant.
It's just, there's this like I said, there's more of like a toolsiness to Fisher versus like Alt in terms of his athletic ability and consistency as well.
Okay, I got what you're saying. You're saying the pure ability to play football at this current point in time. I got you.
Yeah.
And Alt's also a converted tight end, so.
That helps you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lesson to anyone who's got kids, let them be athletic as long as possible. Don't just shove them to the line. Round four, pick 103. I'm up again. I'm staying at Notre Dame. I'm taking the linebacker. Scrolling down on my notes here because I'm behind. We got Maris Liafu out of Notre Dame. In 2023, he had 29 tackles, 14 assists, 22 stops. At this point, you're just taking guys that are solid who can fill things in. He's an energizer bunny of linebackers, tons of energy where he can keep going and going. High IQ and awareness, recognize combo blocks, takes them on really well, fairly capable at dropping into zone or man coverage. He can be an effective blitzer as well, but his open field tackling leaves a lot to be desired. He's kind of better at being that second man in than the initial stopper, which is not fantastic. Bad habits when tackling will be too high with his pad level, dives at ankles. Eyes can get pulled the wrong direction. He's pretty impatient, which can get him in trouble. You know, he appears to lack the instincts to be a consistent tackle maker as a pro, but he does have the qualities to be a, you know, to compete as a nickel linebacker. And he definitely has special teams value just because, again, of that motor, a little bit of the athleticism he has. And plus, he's got great hair.
Yeah. It's funny you say the motor thing, Mason, because like my comp for him as a pro athlete wasn't actually a football player. Like when I was watching him, it was like, if anyone's a big MMA fan or UFC fan, there was a fighter years ago named Clay Guida. Oh, yeah. And that's who this dude reminds me of. Like, even if he's beat, he's not beat. He just keeps coming. Even if he's getting his face bludgeoned, he doesn't care. Like, it's very unrefined. It's very untechnical. It's just, I know I'm supposed to do this job, so I'm going to go do my job. And that's just who he reminded me of. Like, it's a cross-sport reference that doesn't make a ton of sense unless you know who Clay Guida is. And go watch the fight where he's fighting Diego Sanchez and he's bloodied and all beat up. And he's just like, yeah, I'm still fighting. Like,
I just feel like he's the perfect Eberflus linebacker. Like, I could just see him sitting there in the film room and be like, I need this man to be my third, fourth linebacker / special teams guy.
It feels like the Noah Sewell thing last year. Like, if he were there had the 103rd pick, like, it's like, well, we don't really need anything else. He's here. He's hanging out. Like,
might as well.
And if anything else, the motor and the tenacity, he'll be a good special teamer.
all my picks are just kind of coming up right now. So, and I'm going to shut up soon. But right now I pick 4-112 Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah. Again, not necessarily a need, but, you know, Brisker does have some injury stuff consistently. I think he's going to put that behind him this year, to be honest. But, you know, it's always good to have some depth. The Bears went and got Jonathan Owens. And in all reality, they got Simone Biles, and Owens happened to come along with. But so he's kind of the backup right now. But it's always good to have more. He's very productive. Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah. 2023, as a junior, he played in 11 games. He had 47 tackles, 13 assists. And he had one pass breakup, two interceptions. Started for 3 years. He's got a ton of experience. He tested super well. I mean, he's 6'2". He could add a little bit of mass at 206, but great. So he had a 9.82 RAS, 4.45 40-yard dash, 39-inch vertical. He can play man on tight ends, can lay the lumber when crashing down in run support or a wide receiver coming across his face. He's super instinctual player, good vision and route recognition, enforcer kind of safety with a gritty mentality and a high motor. There's a theme here. Cons, he can leave his zones too frequently looking to make a play, needs to be able to shed blocks better, some stiffness in his coverage drops, some rigid hips. That shows a tendency to overrun pursue. Bishop has a versatility within his game. He lacks true scheme versatility. He's going to be a box defender. He'll fit best as a strong safety who can occasionally switch it up as a deep defender every once in a while. So, you know, Keith, this is your, again, Brisker insurance policy slash special teamer slash just throw him out there and see what happens kind of guy.
Character guy too.
Character. Another character. Danny, round 4, pick 120.
Okay, this was, again, just he's not going to be there. He might be a second or third round or late second, third round pick. What is that picture that keeps popping up?
What picture?
Yeah, no idea. I'm just making things up at this point.
Oh,
okay. Cooper Beebe is a tremendous athlete at the guard position. He tested extremely well. Insanely powerful, and that shows on film. It was one of those things, like, I'm not totally convinced that Tevin Jenkins is going to be on this team. And you would need an insurance policy for when he leaves, especially with guards starting to hit the $20 million a year mark.
There was a lot of money given to guards this free agency. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it was something I never expected. And I'm not sure if Quentin Nelson was like the start of that or whatever it was. But Cooper Beebe would be a complete luxury at this point, almost to an extent, because you do have your two starting guards already on the roster. But like I said, I'm not totally convinced that Tevin's here for the long term. And you're just talking about, the guy's a tremendous run blocker. You know Shane Waldron's going to want to run the ball with the amount of 12 and 13 personnel he's run in the past. And they're young, the young quarterback with a defensive-minded head coach. Run the ball, ball control, control the clock, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I feel like he would fit ideally, especially coming from that sort of, like, mentality in Kansas State.
I'm not going to lie, don't have a lot of Cooper Beebe knowledge. Do you, Rashad?
Yeah, not really, honestly, but I like him. I would like him as a depth guy, and especially with, you know, like you mentioned, like the guard market exploding recently, and Tevin Jenkins always gets injured. Like, we could use, you know, some good insurance for him.
And like I said, I just don't know that Tevin's in their long-term cards. It feels like they're just so wishy-washy and non-committal on him. Like, I truthfully wouldn't be shocked, and I know, like, it'd be like sacrilege for Bears Twitter, like, if they traded him on draft day for like a third round pick.
Damn.
Ooh.
That'd be a tough one, because you know he's like really good when he is playing, but he is gonna miss, you know, a good amount of games. And like, if the Bears are not gonna pay him next year, like, yeah, I guess it could make sense.
Like, I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'm just saying I would not be shocked.
Yeah, 100%.
So, Rashad, I'm going to ask you a question before we move on here real quick. If, let's say, for the sake of argument, Tevin missed like 3 games next year, right? He missed weeks 5 and 6 and week 12. So kind of spread out, 2 separate entities. He comes, you know, now it's time to come up for extension talk. Is he someone that you're, with that, missing 3 more games, willing to throw money at, seeing what some of these guys are getting on the market?
If you have good insurance for him, then yeah, like I would say yes, just because he is that elite of a player when he is in, where he's also like kind of like the heartbeat of the offensive line, right? Like he brings a nasty mentality. He's a fun guy, you know, fun loving guy, you know, big, brings that big personality too to the offensive line, where I feel like you kind of want to invest in guys that have, you know, especially with what we put Tevin through, almost trading him when, you know, when Ryan Poles got here and this, making him switch positions and all that. So like we kind of put him through a lot of different things. I know he got injured himself too, but I would still like to extend him to a long-term deal if possible. But I do think Ryan Poles maybe does not extend him though, because of the reasons you guys, you know, already mentioned.
Yeah, to give an idea of what some of these deals have looked like for those who aren't maybe following free agency with the guard market as closely as we apparently were. Robert Hunt went to Carolina for $20 million AAV. Michael Onwenu went to New England for $19 million. Jonah Jackson went to the Rams for $17 million. You know, that's a good amount of money being thrown in that guard market. So if that continues with the injuries, I mean, that's something to think about for Tevin.
Yeah.
All right, Rashad was much more logical with his tradebacks and acquiring picks, so he finally gets to go again. With Danny and
I just getting all the picks. I want to trade back a lot more than I did. And I think Ryan Poles maybe is going to want to trade back more than I did, because I think in my draft I only have like five picks. He's probably going to want to get to 9 or 10. Yeah. Although the depth in this draft is not as good, I've heard.
Once you get past really the fourth round, you're kind of like
third round, four is even kind of
yeah, like I've not even watched most of the prospects past like, you know, pick 150, because we don't even have any picks in that range. So I selected Leonard Taylor the third out of Miami, and a lot of people, it seems like, either love or hate him. I know like last year he did not have as good of a year as he had in 2022. His production was not the best last year. If I pull that up, he had 3.5 tackles for loss, you know, one sack, but obviously interior defensive linemen don't usually rack up crazy amount of sacks, but you know, there were some plays that seemed like he took off. But in terms of like overall physical potential, I think he definitely has that. His first step is lightning quick. Like I think that's his best part of his game right now. His first step is pretty nice. His pad level is definitely way too high. That's something that it seems like everybody's talking about, where that's going to have to be corrected. Where I think Jervon Dexter maybe might have had that problem too, to some extent, where his pad level was a little bit too high. But again, that's something that I would hope a good defensive coach and Matt Eberflus would be able to coach up in him, you know, the fundamentals of playing the position. But in terms of being like that rotational defensive lineman, he could be that for the Bears. He's not going to be a starter on day one, but I don't think he has to be a starter on day one if the Bears do sign another defensive lineman, or, you know, if Jervon Dexter can take that next step up this year. You already got Andrew Billings here, you got Zach Pickens, but I do think you have to add another interior defensive lineman, and Leonard Taylor could be pretty good.
Yeah, and so what you're saying, you know, that when you're doing a show like this too, like you can sit back and trade all day long, but it's like, look, we're already an hour 15, we're trying to wrap up here relatively quickly, and so it's like you also want to be logical and not go crazy and not want to kill yourself with all the research you have to do and all this stuff too. So yes, could we have traded back and got fifth and sixth round picks? We could have, but again, you're more reserved and probably more realistic with what was going to be happening here. Round four, pick 22, a guy that I actually drafted last week when Kyrie was on the show, Muhammad Kamara, Colorado State Edge.
One of the better Rams to come out in recent vintage. The first thing that really stands out to me on his tape is how violent he is when he plays. Again, you'll notice a common theme with what I say about with edge defenders, whether it be Murphy or Latu or now him, just violent, good hands. That's like the first thing that really stands out about him. And then you go and look at his production. He's had, I believe, almost 31 or 32 sacks during his time at Colorado State. I feel like when I did this, like the draft board wasn't super updated for PFF. Because I'm not convinced he'd be around this late either, because I think some team is going to see this. Like, I'm a big believer, if you're drafting a mid-major or a small school player, you better be uber productive on top of being an elite athlete. And he's both of those things. So I could see him theoretically climbing and going higher than you would initially anticipate. So this was a double dip. Like, the Bears didn't sign a big edge. I didn't draft one high. So, I can get Gabe Murphy and I can get Muhammad Kamara and just do both and try it again. Sure, why not? Like, the thing that really kind of stood out to me, for him. He can get washed out of plays really easily, and I think that just comes from maybe being light in the ass, as it were. He has trouble anchoring or, like, setting the edge, as it were. At this point in the draft, though, with the production and what you know he can do, and again, I believe he was another team captain, if memory serves, like, just if he fits the Flusy prototype of someone you think you can take and develop and make sure he's, again, getting 2, 3, 4 sacks as a rookie and contributing, where you're going to almost money ball the edge approach outside of Montez Sweat. Just here's Gabe Murphy, here's Mo Kamara, here's DeMarcus Walker. Like, just keep throwing bodies at the solution versus having a real superstar.
Yeah, it's like you said, money ball. Like, you know, we have to make up 10 pressures. How do we get 10 pressures? Let's throw bodies and see what happens.
Like, just throw a bunch of dudes at it. And if someone gets hot, you keep throwing him out there. And when he gets cold, you throw the next guy out. Like, it sounds so stupid, but that's how sports work. Like, who's hot, who's not.
Oh, very true. My final pick, round 4, pick 122. I've dipped into the tight end pool here with Theo Johnson, Penn State. Definitely a favorite on Twitter, Bears Twitter, all that jazz. 6'6", 259 pounds. As a senior, he played in 12 games, had 32 catches for 325 yards and 6 touchdowns. So not super productive. What you're drafting him for is size and traits. You know, he has a 9.99 RAS. He ran 4.57 40-yard dash, 39.5 vertical, 10'5" broad jump, and a 4.19 shuttle, which are all wild. Tape doesn't show as much to work with. There's just not a lot there production-wise, like I said, because he hasn't really been developed. It goes back to that Penn State conversation. You won't see a ton of consistency or volume of flashes. You know, he can make contested catches more often than not. He won't stretch the field necessarily. It's going to be more of a possession receiver. His run blocking sucks, to be honest. When you're 6'6", 2'9", it should be better. Like, just at least be in the way. He hasn't been doing that. But, I mean, that's kind of why you're drafting him. You know, he has the frame to be better. And so really mentally, can you get him to buy in, right? That as a tight end, you're not Travis Kelce. You are this. Be George Kittle. Be amazing blocker. And then we can get you the ball. Not as dynamic a pass catcher as you would hope with his size. Will drift on routes against zone. Yards after catch is not necessarily his forte. So again, in the 4th round, throwing stuff at the wall, can we get someone knowing Shane Waldron? You're going to have to spell some of your tight ends, right? Cole Kmet got beat to hell last year. I mean, he broke his forearm in the final game without even realizing it.
And yes, you can't stop falling on the ground.
He got better at that. You have Gerald Everett, but you don't have that third tight end. So, you know, how many do you carry? Because Shane Waldron uses a lot, right? He's going to do a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. Are you going to try to bring back a true, just pure blocker like they had, you know, in Lewis last year? Or are you going to try to do more developmental? And if we're going to go developmental at this stage, I think this is a good choice.
Would you say it's following two of my rules? Draft the theoretical and pretend James Franklin can't coach for a football team? Is that what we're doing today?
Yeah, you're just hoping that, you know, he is in fact a terrible coach. Round 5, pick 151. Who you got?
I got Jalen Simpson out of Auburn, and he's a pretty small guy. I think he's 5'10", 5'11", so definitely not the tallest. He's also not the biggest in terms of weight. I forgot what exactly he weighs, but I know it's not, you know, the biggest guy, the strongest guy. So that's why sometimes, you know, he does struggle in run support to some extent. I feel like he's like a willing run defender. You know, like, he definitely tries his hardest, but sometimes he's just not big enough, strong enough to get past some of these guys he's going up against, especially, you know, in the SEC. So, you know, he's going to have to bulk up a little bit, you know, go through an NFL offseason of, you know, weight training and all that. But in terms of like zone coverage, like, I think you play very well in zone and, you know, in a cover 2 defense. Like, I feel like he would have a, you know, a role in this defense, in this Eberflus defense. And in terms of like speed, he's also a pretty fast guy. His RAS was above 8.5 plus. Again, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I do remember being pretty high. So very good athlete, not the biggest. He does have to put on weight, but the Bears do have to add a safety at some point, like you guys already did. Like, I think Mason added a safety because behind Jaquan Brisker, like, we only have Jonathan Owens right now. And I don't trust the other safeties we have really to play any snaps. So,
yeah, 100%. I mean, depth at this point. Danny, round 5, pick 157.
Oh, Isaac Gerwendo.
Fastest running back in the combine, right?
I believe so. And big. I think he's 220 plus. Like, he's a big back, and I shouldn't shock anyone given that before he got to Louisville, he was a Wisconsin Badger, which, if you know anything about the Wisconsin program, for whether no matter who the coach is, they all tend to target big, strong running backs. Guerrero is a dice roll in its highest form. If you watch his tape, he is not all that good. It's the complete, like, this dude is big, strong, and fast. Look at that big man run fast kind of thing, to quote Ben Solak. Like, I don't know that they're – I'm fairly confident they're not going to extend Khalil Herbert. He's different than DeAndre Swift. He's different than Roshan Johnson. And it could make someone like Khalil Herbert expendable, no matter how good a true, quote-unquote, put ball in belly of running back, let running back run, Khalil Herbert might be. He has a lot to prove. I don't know that he does anything particularly well because his tape is just so sporadic and he is a transfer. And I'm a Louisville fan, so I watched him live. I watched him in all 22. There were three running backs in that backfield that are in this draft. Guerrero is just one of them. And he wasn't particularly good. But you see the tape, you see the fifth round pick. To quote you, Mason, it's just throw shit at the wall, see what sticks. Maybe he's a better pro than he is a college player. But I do know being 6 foot plus, 220 plus, running, God, I think he ran 4.38 or something like that. Like, I don't have it in front of me, but he's an interesting 4.33. Okay,
41.5 inch vertical.
Yeah, like they don't make people like him. Like, it's the whole, like, anyone who knows my draft analysis says I subscribe to the planet theory. If I don't think they make many people like you on this planet, I'm in. Like, I believe in trying to coach up the traits.
And so that's what this pick would be. 3'4" running back.
Say what?
The 3'4" running back, you're going to draft them. They don't make a lot of them.
I hate you. I don't even have a comp for Guerrero because there's just not one for someone who's that specially built but just doesn't have a ton of production.
Yeah. And Danny, wrap us up. Round 5, pick 161.
Dwight McLaughlin was really just the best player on the board, and he's a zone scheme fit corner who fits the run. Like, he plays hard, he tackles hard, just does. I haven't watched a ton of them. Like, I literally watched a game after making the pick in the PFF sim. And I was like, yeah, I think Fluce would like him. He plays hard. This is fine.
And we talked about this a little bit earlier. You know, this draft is not super great past, for sure, round 5, maybe even past round 4. With all the NIL money, players are going back more. With all the weird COVID-y stuff, you have a lot of, like, red shirt seniors and things who are finally coming out too in this, like, range. So, you know, when you look at things like trading away the 4th for Keenan Allen, when you look at why the Bears maybe wanted a future 6th-round pick in the Justin Fields trade instead of this year, like a 6th-round or a 5th-round pick, it's because you end up, you're looking at guys, no offense to Mr. McLaughlin, but, like, that guy gets cut. You're not making the final 53. So, you know, to always keep that in mind too, when you're doing your own mocks and when, you know, if the Bears leave with 6 people, but all 6 of them are in the first 3-4 rounds, that's more quality. It's about quality, not quantity in this draft, right, in particular.
So, full disclosure, my reasoning behind the pick was Terrell Smith was worked at safety last year. And despite him showing promise as a corner, I was just like, well, the safeties on the board right now just aren't anyone I would take at this juncture of the draft. Like, I'd wait. And I don't want to trade back again. Like, I'll take the best defensive back on the board, and I would just live with moving Terrell Smith to the safety position.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense to me. All right. So our drafts are as follows. I had Jaden Daniels, quarterback, Jared Verse, edge, Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Zach Frazier, center, Devondre Sweat, D-line, Max Melton, corner, Blake Fisher, tackle, Amaris Lufau, linebacker, Cole Bishop, safety, Theo Johnson, tight end. Rashab, a little bit of a smaller draft. Caleb Williams at quarterback, Leiatu Latu at edge, wide receiver Keon Coleman, center Cedric Van Pran, defensive lineman Leonard Taylor III, safety Jalen Simpson, and finally Danny got Drake May at quarterback, Jerzon Newton, defensive line, Zach Frazier, center, tight end Jatavion Sanders, Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, edge Gabriel Murphy, guard Cooper Beebe, edge Muhammad Kamara, running back Isaac Garendo, and Dwight McLaughlin at cornerback. Rashab, looking at these three, obviously you're probably leaning towards yours. You made it. It's a good draft. I do like it. If you had to pick one, which one are you picking and why?
Besides mine?
Nah, you could pick yours.
I mean, like, obviously I'd pick mine just because I think it's the most realistic, right? Like, I want us to get Caleb, you know, since we traded Justin Fields away, like, I want Caleb Williams, like, where I'd be a little bit pissed if it was somebody else. I'd still be okay with Drake May. Jaden Daniels, I'm not as sure. But in terms of, like, overall quality of the draft, I do like Danny's draft just because he picked Johnny Newton, you know, from my Fighting Illini. Has a lot of projects in there, too, where, you know, if we have good development, like, a lot of these guys could be steals of the draft, you know, because there are, you know, high RAS guys, which I'm sure Ryan Pohl is going to like as well. But I think all you guys had pretty interesting drafts.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things for sure. Like, and for those who joined us late, the reason Danny and I are taking Drake May and Jane Daniels, one, is boring to have all three of us take Caleb Williams. And two, we can't take the same people multiple times. So you can only take once. And so we're just trying to outline, hey, here are some players, not just that they could potentially, even if it's only 1% take, but also, you know, why we wouldn't. So I outlined why I really wouldn't take Jane Daniels. Danny outlined why Drake May is number two behind Caleb Williams. So, you know, that's always important to keep in mind with these things. Just learn about prospects. If I had to pick one, I would go with Rashab's. I think it's important to get Caleb Williams at this point. I love Keon Coleman, and I also think Cedric Van Pran is going to be a really solid center.
I could wax poetic about Keon Coleman. Like, he is the ultimate player in this draft that the nerds are going to hate him and the scouts are going to love him kind of thing. But my last PSA for anyone who wants to get into film work or NFL draft, like breakdowns, whatever, scout the player, don't scout the helmet. It's the most important thing you can learn. Like, I know Mason is doing this to kind of harass me because he knows that's like my big thing. Like, I hate the, oh, he's number 10 in a Tar Heel, he's Mitch. Like,
you got stuck at pick number two, like, and you got Drake May, like, you wouldn't be mad about it. If anything, I'd be hyping up Drake May,
right? And what I will tell people is, I think even if the Panthers ended up number two and the Bears and the Bears were picking there, I still think they would have traded Justin to pick Drake.
Yeah, I agree. Rashab, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you on again, second time on Bare Bones here. Where can people find your stuff if they're not following you and watching your things already, which they should if they're not, they're idiots.
I appreciate that, guys. You can follow me on YouTube at the Windy City Productions. I make highlight reels, you know, random reaction videos, just like all content regarding the Chicago Bears. I also have a Twitter account too at DWC Prods, where I'm pretty active on Twitter, defending the name of Caleb Williams now, our new future quarterback. Hope to see you guys, you know, on Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, props to you, Rashab. The Justin Fields hype tape you put out prior to last season,
yeah,
is one of the better fan edits I've seen.
I appreciate that.
That thing is, it was awesome. And I think you also made the, I could be wrong, I don't want to discredit you if it is you, but it was the post double doink hype video leading into the 2019 season.
Yeah.
It was the Seven Nation Army edit.
I don't think that was me.
That wasn't you? No, okay.
I made a lot of similar edits, though.
There's just so many of them that it's hard to keep track. Yeah.
I will say, I remember going into the Bears playoff game, Mitch's last one, the Nickelodeon MVP game. You made a hype video for that game. And I remember showing it to my wife, who just doesn't really care about football all that much. And she was like, oh, when are we going to watch this game? Like, she was so hyped, like, over Mitch freaking Trubisky. And so that was, again, it is great stuff. If you're not following him, you absolutely need to. Makes you want to run through a wall. But that's all we got for today. Next episode, so we're off next week, back to kind of our traditional every other week. We're going to have Brad Spielberger of PFF on. He's going to give us his mock that he's going to run through. I can only guess who his number one pick is going to be. And then we're going to have another week off after that. And then lastly, the week before the draft, we're going to do our live war room. You know, we'll have the PFF mock up and we'll debate on who to take, who to trade, field offers. You know, depending on how long it takes, just because, again, the Bears only have four picks, we might do two of them. So stay tuned for that. There is a giveaway going on right now to get a Bare Bones shirt. Go if you want one. Why not? Swag's fun. All you got to do is go to the tweet that I have at West Sports PT. It's at the bottom of the screen. You can read all that. Go ahead, retweet, like, follow, and then send us your mock. That's a big important part. I want to see your creative mocks here. So, you know, more mocks, more better. That's all we got. Anything else to say, fellas?
Nope. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, bear the hell down.
Toodles. Bye.